Okay, be seated. There we go. Hebrews chapter 10. Thank you. Please be seated, guys. It's fine. Thank you. Good, good. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Thank you very much. Thanks for your excitement you bring to chapel. I had another man who has a college in a different venue of the world, and he said, "Oh, I wish I could bottle what you have here." And that means you have to bottle you, so we wouldn't let it happen. So we like you, and we like a spirit that God's given you to this college. Thank you so very much. We're excited about a few days you'll have to rest and take a break and be with family and friends, and I hope that you'll take advantage of this time to do so. We're in Hebrews chapter 10. We'll go there in just a few moments. I do want to remind you, the core of our curriculum is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6. Each of those chapters have a main theme, and they're themes I want every student of our college, I want them to be in my heart. I want them to be in the administration's heart. I want them to be in the teacher's heart. And I want them to be in your heart. Six things that we will deal with every day as servants of Christ that we need to solidify in these years of our youth. It was things that Paul told Timothy when he was young. He needed to get these things straight. Chapter 1, someone stand and tell me the theme of chapter 1. Yes, sir, Zachary? Let's say it with him. The theme of chapter 1 is? Keeping the doctrine sound, because doctrine determines your destiny. I read again this morning that the information in the scriptures to remind us to hold fast that form of sound doctrine. Keeping doctrine sound. Be sure that you watch out that what you believe, don't get bored with the truth. Amen. Someone tells you, "I got a new truth to share with you today." Don't listen. Amen. There's nothing new under the sun, and certainly no new doctrine do we listen to. Don't be caught off guard by somebody. Apostle Paul told the Galatians, "You did run well," and the next word he said is, "Who? Who did hinder you?" Make sure that you go back to the scriptures and you know what you believe. You're learning that, you're formulating that, and you will propagate that, because if you swerve in doctrinal issues, you will make yourself and others to be shipwrecked. Chapter 2. What is chapter 2 about? Someone stand and tell me. Yes, sir. It's your prayer and personal walk with God. Thank you, Zachary. It's walking with God and your prayer life. And so chapter 2 is prayer. Sound doctrine, chapter 1. Chapter 2 is prayer. Chapter 3. Someone stand and tell me. Daniel. Spiritual reproduction. Say it with me, student body. The chapter 3 is about? That means to identify people that you can win to Christ, disciple, train, and replace yourself. There's no success without successors. Learning to continue to help other people know the Lord. And you need to do that while you're young. The Bible tells us, let no man despise your youth. I was so blessed this week. I saw a man get saved and got baptized on Sunday. And at the end of the service, he came to me with one of you young people here. And he came to me and he goes, "I'm married. I have 5 kids. I live in the area." He said, and he pointed to his college student here, and he said, "Sir, I've just got to tell you, this young man really means a lot to me. I don't know a young man I admire more than he." He said, on October the 15th, he came and he knocked on my door, got permission to come into my home, and he sat in my living room and he showed me from the Bible how I could be saved. I brought my whole family here last Wednesday night, but tonight I came to follow the Lord in baptism. It's because of this young man right here. Because I don't know where you get people like this, but this is a good person. And it's a beautiful testimony, and now that young man is going to help disciple him. He said, he knows the Bible. He knew how to tell me how to get to heaven from here. It's a beautiful testimony. I saw Sunday morning our visitor welcome, a man stood up and he said, I have a business. I own 2 businesses in Chicago. I've lived there for 18 months. And Saturday, for the first time, someone knocked on my door. And this is the young man who knocked on my door. And he invited me to come. He goes, "I was just thinking this week, I've got to get back to God. And he came. And for the first time in 18 months, no one has ever knocked on my door and invited me to come to a church. And I'm here today because this young man invited me to come to church. Young people, you can be used of God in that way. It ought to be a passion that goes inside of you continually. I saw a lady this week in this visitor welcome, and it was brought to church because of one of the young ladies here in this room. What a blessing, what a joy, what an encouragement that is, that you can be spiritually reproductive in this season of life, telling someone about Christ. But don't be satisfied with just telling someone about Christ. Help them grow in spiritual maturity. It is so fun to me to be able to see people grow in Jesus. And John said, I have no greater joy than when my children walk in truth. Once again, chapter 1, student body, is about. Chapter 2, prayer and your personal walk with the Lord. Chapter 3. Chapter 4. So who could stand and tell me real quickly? Someone stand and tell me. Danny in the back. Being a good testimony. The walk of a godly servant. Your sermons whisper, but what shouts? Our life shouts. Your testimony is huge. It's huge in breaking down, especially the more wicked this world becomes, the more it needs a godly testimony. And the darker the night, the brighter the light. Say that with me. The darker the day in which we live in, and we are in the latter days, a good testimony for Jesus Christ is vital. How you behave yourself. What you do at home on Thanksgiving break. We've had students years ago that would leave and they would go get a movie on Thanksgiving break, thinking no one saw them and someone saw them. And we're disappointed that a Hiles Anderson College student devoted to the Lord is going to a movie theater. Hurting the testimony of Jesus, hurting your testimony and your longevity, not to mention all the things you'll put in your eye gate and your ear gate while you're doing that. Your testimony is huge in the community you live in, where you work, what you do, how you dress. We've had young ladies go to the airport and change their dress while they're in the airport dressing room so they can ride home in a different outfit than they wear in school. And people see that and they see the hypocrisy of those things. You are God's epistles, known and read of all men. Everyone sees you. And one thing this world needs is someone who is genuine, someone who's not full of hypocrisy, but is the real deal. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a faith that's unfeigned. Being a good testimony. Listen, when you go to your church this weekend, in your places, you ought to dress like you're going to Sunday morning service. If your church has a service tonight in your home, you ought to dress up and look as nice as you can look. Don't try to grow a beard, young men, over the Thanksgiving holidays. I'm serious. Oh, I know you can, and I hope you'll knock your arm off doing it one day on a camping trip or something like that. But just because you can does not necessarily mean you should. It's bigger than your comfort. It's bigger than your desires. It's about your testimony. It's about a lot of young people, a lot of eyeballs walk you, and they'll see you when you walk in your church service. When you walk in here, we don't always notice if you're here or not here. But in your churches, many of them are 80, 100, 150 people. When you walk in on Christmas break or Thanksgiving break, people take notice of you. They want to ask you, that old lady that's in your church that's a widow, been praying for you. Those people that have been asking pastor about your life and how you're doing, they'll see you come into that service and you'll be, once again, a big fish in a little pond. Here you're a little fish in a larger pond, and what you do is doesn't necessarily send huge ripples places. But in the churches you go back to, your testimony is important. Think about that before you go do something, before you talk about something you shouldn't talk, before you live out something you shouldn't live out. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to believers. In word, what you say. The junior high kids in your class, in your church, they need to know somebody loves them. Someone's got a good testimony in what they say. In your conversation, how you live. In your charity, how you love. In your faith, in your purity, in your attitude, your spirit. Be a good testimony. Chapter 1, sound doctrine. 2, prayer. 3, spiritual reproduction. 4, the walk of a godly servant. What's 5? Someone stand and tell me. Who could tell me 5? Yes, sir, Sam. how to treat people correctly. You know, every day I have the chance as a servant of God to operate in these six arenas. And treating people. And remember, love is not feeling right about someone, but making a decision to treat that someone right. Treating the people right. Give time to the children on your Thanksgiving vacation. Give time to your mom and dad. You know, it's interesting to me. In chapter 5, notice this, young people, listen. He says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And the older women like mothers. And the younger men like brothers. And the younger women like sisters. And he adds on the prepositional phrase, with all purity. But you know, it's interesting. How you learn to treat your mom and dad is a foretelling of how you will treat members of your church in years to come. Giving your mom and dad this first night at home and asking them, what do you want me to do? You can come in town and you can say, you know, it's my life. I've got a break. I need a break. And just run off with your friends. And mom and dad miss you, the ones who fed you when you couldn't find your mouth, who loved you. Give them the option. Ask them to go with you with your friends. Ask them what you want them to do. Might be a good idea to do that. You've generated friendships. If you're going to visit someone who's going to be is your fiance or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, you might want to defer to their parents and even encourage them to say, you know what? What was your parents want us to do? What would your parents want for the opportunity to be together? Oh, but we are always so busy. We want to spend time together. I know, but that's a little bit selfish if you're at your mom and dad's house. May I tell you, all your ministry, you're going to be dealing with older men, older women, younger men, and younger women. That's the only groups there are. And do you know how you learn how to treat them right? How you treat your parents. How you treat your brother. How to treat your sisters. Treating people correctly. And of course, it goes on to treating widows and treating pastors in that pastor scripture, your elders. And your elders, your pastor that rules well, he ought to be worthy of double honor. You might want to find some things specifically that you can do to help your pastor while you're home, to encourage him. Some of your pastors work. How many of your pastors are bivocational? They work a secular job and they pastor your church. Would you stand to your feet if your pastor back home does that? Thank God for these dear men of God that are represented here. I'd like to encourage you especially, do something special for your pastor. Let him know that you love them and you're proud of them and you're thankful, Lord, for them. Especially, would you be seated? How many of you, your pastors are able to pastor full time, but you're going to go home and see them? Would you stand to your feet? Won't you find a way in which you can encourage the men of God that God has given you in your oversight? The Bible says, "Remember them that have the rule over us." That means think about them. Those who've taught us the Word of God, and make sure you take time to give them double honor. Some of those pastors are your own fathers, your own mothers, and there's not a one of us that, if you're not a pastor, you have no clue the burden and the pressure that a pastor faces. I don't say that for sympathy. I'm just saying it for fact. Love those men of God. And read. If you want to say, well, how can I love them? Well, read 1 Timothy chapter 5 and see how God wants you to treat your pastor. Thank you. You may be seated, and I appreciate that. Then chapter 6. What's chapter 6 about? Right in the back there. Go ahead and tell us. How we handle our finances. Very, very good, Maria. How we handle our financial managements, taking care of money. And by the way, you'll have an opportunity to do that. Already this morning, I have been awake for about 6 hours or five. We got up at 5:30, but I have already handled multiple financial decisions this morning. And if I'm alive tomorrow, I'll do the same thing. Personally and corporately as a church family. You have already thought about money. Every one of us have thought about money today, and if I ask you to think about it, you could tell me how. Because where a man's treasure is, there his. It affects our feelings, our emotions. It affects our thinking and our desires. Finances does that. But learning to work diligently, to live contentedly, and to give generously is very important. I want to remind you about those things. I want to get those in your heart and mind. I appreciate so much those who've helped us. Remember that. But that's not our message today. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Once again, we've been going through the book of Hebrews in our main services at church. We're talking about chapter 13. Chapter 10, it tells the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, that Jesus suffered once and for all for sin. He was the sacrifice that ended all sacrifices. They were struggling with going back to the temple and bringing animal sacrifices they had done all their life. But now they had to be reminded, listen, you don't need to do that anymore. Jesus has already done that for us. Once for all, Jesus paid it all. It's done. And with that, he became our high priest who intercedes for us. He is our sacrifice. He is a part of every bit of the tabernacle furniture. He is a representation of that. And at the conclusion of chapter 10, in the middle of that, it'll tell us, so what? Now that Jesus has paid for our sin, what are we supposed to do? Look, if you would please, at verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have a personal motivation to live holy because he saved us. His blood has paid for our sin. Verse 20, men, read that with me, would you please, all the men. By a new and living way. He said, this is how he did it. He consecrated himself. He entered in behind the veil that separated us. Now we have open access to God through Jesus Christ. Ladies, read verse number 21. Ready? And having... Now we have Jesus, who is our high priest over the house of God. We have direct access. Nobody has to go through a pastor to get to God, a priest to get to God. You don't have to offer sacrifice to get to God. You have the holy priest, Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice the next verse, verse number 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Young people, just real quickly, because of Jesus, and by the way, that needs to come to your mind every day, Jesus Christ. He needs to be a forefront of our minds. And just like the Apostle Paul said, that I might know him, when Christ who is my life. If Jesus matters most, you will end the finish line of Christianity with your chest out, if you will, proverbial chest out, happy that you finished strong. If you're motivated by anything else but Jesus, you're going to get disappointed and possibly quit. So because Jesus is our life, number one, he says, let us. You'll see there's three let us here. Let us together draw near to him with full assurance of faith, with a true heart. He says, first of all, because Jesus is my high priest, he paid for my sin. Number one, now I should get to know him. And how do you get to know Jesus? Someone tell me that. There's one factor that's very important. It's the reason that I know people separately. I've known Brother Matt Waterhouse since my days at teaching at Golden State Baptist College and him teaching there as well. I didn't know him as a student here, but I got to know him there. He played the piano. He taught there at the school years ago and getting ready to go back to help them again, teaching that in that college. We're going to miss him, but that's how I got to know him. Brother Bailey, I know him less than I did know Brother Matt because I came here 4 years ago or 3.5 years ago, got to know Brother Bailey. I've got to know him even more so because he's such a valuable help in administration here at the college. No one works harder, in my opinion, than Brother Bailey. And he and his wife have given themselves to the hearts of the young people here and for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ to know him. However, Brother John over here, Brother Francis, he's my brother-in-law. Had the joy years ago. And back in 1985, I met him for the first time. I saw him walk around this campus with his pretty sister. And I remember walking past and going to lunch one day, and I saw he and his sister walking past me. I thought, you know what, John? Before, we used to ride to work together at UPS, back and forth, an hour one way and an hour back. And I would sit with him in the back of someone else's car. We paid the guy $2 to get there and $2 to get back every day and gave gas money. And he would sit in the back and he would write 200, 200. So we were writing $200. He filled a whole page full of 200 because that's how many people I want to have on my bus. I said, that's how much money I want in my bank account, you know. He would write that, 200, 200, and he'd be praying. I'd sit over there and sit with him, and he'd be praying and say, Lord, give me 200. Let me reach the young people. Let me help that bus route. And God is using him. He hasn't changed in all that time. I remember one day it was Christmas break. It was a Christmas break time, and it was a day like today when just a few moments, chapel is over, Dr. Evans would sing for us, have yourself a merry little Christmas, and everybody would leave, and I wasn't going anywhere. I had to stay and work through the Christmas time. But I was going down to the square there. I stepped in the square to see what was available there, and Brother John said, hey, Brother John, who are you dating? I said, no, not dating anybody right now. He said, I know someone you ought to date. I said, who? He said, your sister, my sister. I said, wow, she's so pretty. But I didn't think she would date me. I said, now, John, are you? Because now John's, he's kind of a teaser and a jokester and likes to play jokes on people, and I didn't trust him. He was in Division 5. He was in Division 5. I remember one day going by their room, their division room, and I remember hearing Brother Castillo saying, five, Division 5 guys date Division 5 girls. Said, we don't have to go to any other division to get a girlfriend. No, sir, right here in this room, you got all you need. I remember saying that. I thought to myself, what a pious gas bag that guy is there. But he was one of the teachers here. And then John's asking me to date his sister, who's in Division. I'm in Division 9. I knew you'd like that at the time. And he's asking me, I thought, man, this guy's joking. He's messing with me, you know. But sure enough, I had the opportunity to take his advice and ask his sister out, and she has been saying yes ever since, and I'm so glad that she became my wife. But I take this back to our illustration here. I've known him probably for 6 years, 7 years. I've known him for 3.5, and I've known him for over 30 years. And I know him better than I know these two men. I've been to his home. I've eaten meals with him. I know his mom, his dad. I know his kids. I know them. But why do I know them better? Is it because we're family? Not necessarily. It's because of time. I spent more time with him. And time is a factor in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, let's draw near with a full heart, with full assurance of faith. And then another factor is not only time, but it's separation from things that will scar your conscience and your body. Would you look at the verse of Scripture there again for me, if you would, please? It says, let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled from what? Your conscience is one of the most valuable things you have in your life. It's not what comes into a man defiles what comes out of a man, but I tell you what happens, what comes out is what's on here. That's why you got to be careful what you look at. Be careful who you hang around. Be careful who you interact with. Be careful who you text and who you receive texts from. It messes with your conscience. The Bible tells us the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Sinful activities and a sinful conscience makes you paranoid. Years ago, there weren't near as many paranoid schizophrenic as there are today. No doubt, maybe some of those dear folks, I'm not here, I'm not a doctor, I don't know all the medical terms, but I'm telling you, one of the things that makes a person paranoid is sin. Sins against your conscience. When God's dealing with you and you will not respond, when you're in a sinful situation, when you're lying or you're in a lie or you're in an immoral activity or things of that nature and you don't deal with it, your conscience is slowly being seared. And it will affect your walk and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only do you need to evaluate your time, but also my sin and my faults. Then he says, and your body's washed with pure water. It means your body is very important. It's holy. Be careful on the Christmas break. Be careful on the Thanksgiving break that you make sure you maintain purity. And you'll need more than your determination to do that. You'll need some wisdom ahead of time. And I'm telling you, friend, when you stand at a marriage altar one day, it'll be very good to be able to say, I saved myself for you. You'll be very glad that you can tell your kids there's been nobody else in my life ever. Your mother is the only one I've ever been with, the only one I've ever kissed, the only one I ever held hands with. She's it. And so many young people compromise that. You heard a great message from Brother Froki recently about that. Take those things home with you, because it will affect your walk with Jesus, and your walk with Jesus is a motivational factor, your personal devotions. But look at the next, if you would please, the next verse. And our time is just about up, but I want you to notice this. Verse number 23. Read it with me. Let us hold fast. Let's hold fast our profession. Now, profession is something that is shown on the outside. This has to do with your testimony. The first part has to do with your walk with God that's developed with time with Him and steering clear of sin. This has to do with my profession. We had people Sunday come who made a profession of faith. They got saved earlier, but they came to tell people it happens. When you get baptized, you're making your profession of faith publicly. That's why we ask you in the waters, do you believe that Jesus Christ, giving you a chance to publicly profess, yes, I believe Jesus. Yes, I've accepted with Him as my Savior. It's an outward expression of an internal decision. The Bible says let's hold fast that profession of faith. And here's the second point. First of all, it's your personal devotion. Here's your personal testimony. I think I've given credence to that already with our sermons whisper, our life shouts, and being a good testimony. But I want to share just for a few moments the last section. And let's look at verse 24. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is verse 24. And I want you to listen to it. I'll read it one time. You read it with me the second time. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Read it with me. And let us here the Bible tells us, after I've got a personal walk with God and my walk is obvious to others, then I need to turn my focus on provoking others to love God and others more and doing more for God and others. You affect the lives of other people. And especially as Hiles Anderson College students, I want you to be used of God. You know, one of the reasons we preach on those six things is because you affect somebody else. Your brother, your sister, the guys at your school, the guys at your home church, the girls there, wherever you go at the workplace. I was thinking just the other day, I saw Miss Megan Bowser. She works at a school there in Mobile, Alabama, or Theodore, Alabama. She's one of the sweetest ladies. She's a great lady. And she was reached for Christ by a Hiles Anderson College student as a student at Northwestern State University. And she was brought to Hiles Anderson College through the influence of another Hiles Anderson College student. Miss Raina, are you here today? Where's Miss Raina at? Miss Raina from New Mexico. Where are you? Could you just raise your hand right back here? Stand if you would please. This is Miss Raina. She was a college student when I first came to be the pastor here in his early days. Thank you, Raina. You may be seated. Raina had to go home. She had to leave college to go back home. But there was a lady in this school, and probably some more than one, that called her almost every week and prayed for her and told her, listen, you can come back. You can stay back in school. You can get back here. Raina, who was that? Grace, would you stand, Grace? This lovely lady right here took time to pray over her, to call her, to text her Bible verses, to tell her, I miss you. We need you back here. You need to come. Those of us who know Raina, we know that God has given her a sweet spirit. She's a good servant of Christ. But she's here ministering to others, winning people to Christ, being used of God because of another student in this room. Young people, I want you to see the bigness of you influencing other people for the cause of Christ. No doubt most of us are here. I know I came here because other people I knew came here. And they were a good testimony and they encouraged me to go. I had other students, other friends that went to other colleges. And quite frankly, one of the reasons I didn't go to some of those colleges is because of them. They just didn't impress me. Not that they were bad people, but they didn't have that ministry heart. They did not have that testimony, verbal testimony and testimony of their life. And yet, getting someone, this is not a ploy to get more students in our school, but I will tell you, there's something that happens in this place. Where the Word of God is preached, where the love of God is felt, where training takes place. And you can be used of God to influence. And they may be a junior right now in high school. They might be a single adult sitting in your church that's thinking about what they need to do, and things are changing rapidly, and they could be back here in a college in January. And you and I could be used of God to provoke others to do two things, to love and to good works. You know, friends, that's exactly what we're going to be judged for one day. I'm not judged for my work, for my sin. I deserve to be judged for my sin and be sent to the lake of fire. But I'm not going to hell because Jesus took my judgment for me and I'm justified. But I will give an account for how I loved the Lord and others, and how what I did for the Lord and others. And according to this verse, I'll give an account on how I provoked other people to do the same. You know, almost every one of us are here because someone provoked us to love God and others more and do more for God and others. How many could think of someone like that? You could say their name right now if I ask you to. Would you raise your hand? Good. Most everybody would have someone. If you had more time to think about it, you'd probably put both hands up. With people that God used. I want to encourage you as you leave this campus today, and you get to go back home, determine, I want to be used of God to help others, to provoke others, to give, to love God and others more, and do more for God and others. Maybe you ought to say, Lord, would you give me one person I can influence that would serve you, and possibly even at Howells Anderson College, because of my life and my testimony? Let me give you a couple suggestions. Live above reproach while you're home. Live above reproach. Don't live selfishly, and this is what I like. I need a break, so listen, if there's a soul winning Saturday, you go to it. If there's a service of your church, you be at it. If there's an usher that needs to usher, you be the usher. If pastor wants you in the choir, sing in the choir. I would say also, if you get a chance to give a verbal testimony, think about that and tell people about what God is doing in your life. You know, a testimony is how I lived, before I came to know Christ, when I came to know Christ, and then what Christ is doing in my life today. Well, if you get a chance to give a testimony, and by the way, that's not wrong. If you get in front of your youth group and you can say, you know, let me just tell you what God's done in my life. And verbally, faith cometh by hearing. And when you tell people what God's done in your life, you can verbalize that. God can use that in a special way. I've asked Brother Collins to also put on the back table books, view books, that you could possibly take with you. I'm not asking you to take 20 or 30 of them. I'm asking you to take maybe some and just say, I'll take one or two, and I'm going to find someone, if God will lay on my heart, that I can encourage them. Here's an information card. If they want to fill that out, you can bring that back, and we can have an opportunity to develop a relationship with them that might be able to catapult on what you're doing in their hearts and life. I want God to use me. I want God to use you, not just to have a personal walk with Him, not just to be an open profession of my faith in Christ, but to provoke others to love and good works. Would you stand with me, if you would, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to just ask you, young people,